Today, we come to Mass to celebrate the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. And it's important to talk about the Trinity because it's one of the most fundamental doctrines of Christianity. In fact, it's the greatest mystery of our faith. The mystery of the Trinity is this: there is one God in three divine persons. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each person is God, but there is still only one God. So is the Father greater than the Son? No. Is the Son greater than the Father? No, he's not. Is the Holy Spirit greater than either? And again, the answer is no. They're all equal. Mind blown, right? Mind blown. And there's no way we'd even remotely get used, or there's no way we would begin to even get at this unless it was part of Revelation, unless it was the Lord who revealed himself to us in this way. And if we could understand this mystery that we celebrate today, then God simply would not be God, because we are finite and he is infinite, and it's impossible for the finite to understand the infinite. And we believe in the Trinity, we believe in a Trinitarian God, because it's what was taught by Jesus Christ. We can see it in the Gospels. The evangelists recorded it in all four Gospels. Our early church fathers, they wrestled with this, trying to explain it and articulate it to the early church. And finally, it was defined as dogma in the church, which we will profess here in just a few moments when we recite the Nicene Creed. And I think we've all heard how St. Patrick went about explaining to the people of Ireland the shamrock and how the shamrock is used to explain the Holy Trinity. But one that I find pretty intriguing when I was doing research for this was by St. Cyril. He used the sun as an example. He said that God the Father is the blazing sun, okay? And God the Son is the light. And the Holy Spirit is the heat, which we feel. But there's only one sun. I think this image can help us to grasp more of what it means to be a Trinitarian God. The life of the Trinity is seen in everything we do as Catholics. When you first walked in the church this morning, what was the first thing you did? You probably put your hand in the holy water. If you had a kid, they probably, you know, splashed it around a little bit. But then what happened? Well, you made the sign of the cross, right? You made the sign of the cross at the beginning of Mass. We made the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All of our prayers as Catholics begin that way, and they end that way. In all prayer, we begin and end the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're invoking the Holy Blessed Trinity. And as Catholics, we know that all of our sacraments as well, they begin and end with this invocation of the Holy Trinity in baptism, in confirmation, anointing of the sick, confession, marriage, and holy orders. They all begin and end with an invocation of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. Created in the image of God, you, I, all of us, we share in the life of the heart of the Trinity. And for us, this begins at our baptism. We're baptized in this communion that is spoken of in today's readings. But what is it that God is trying to reveal to us in his Trinitarian nature? There has to be more to this, although that's already a lot. And our readings today, I think if you take them all together, fundamentally what is trying to be conveyed to us is that our Trinitarian God reaches out to us in love, and wishes to have the deepest communion with us. You might ask, what am I basing this on? Well, in the first reading, we have a definition of God. You may or may not have caught it. But in the first reading, we heard that God revealed his name to Moses, Lord. And then he says, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity. And that's our definition of God. A merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity and his faithfulness to us. And each part of that statement, each part of this definition, if you will, stresses that God wants to be in relationship with us, that he desires to be with us, and it emphasizes most especially his great love for us. And that's something that we've got to understand and realize. And this honestly can help us with the sacrament of reconciliation. Our God is merciful. He's gracious. You know, he's thankful that we come and to receive his forgiveness. He's slow to anger. He's not vengeful. He's rich in kindness. and faithfulness. Even though we do not remain faithful to him, he will always remain faithful to us. So there's a lot in that definition of God we had today from our first reading. And then again, in the second reading, we hear St. Paul. We hear something we already heard at the beginning of Mass, and probably most of you recognized it. How was it that Father greeted us? He said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," right? And again, this fellowship, this communion is what's being talked about. Now, in the New Translation, we say communion, but the scriptures, they read fellowship. They basically mean the same thing. We're drawn into relationship with the Holy Trinity. God wants us to participate in his divine life. And Paul reminds us, again, in the second reading, of the Father's love, the grace that we're able to receive through Jesus Christ, right? And he tells us about the Holy Spirit calling us into communion or fellowship with him. And isn't that wild that the God of the universe wants to be in communion with us? In the blink of an eye, our lives are over. And God wants and is so intimately involved in each of our lives. It's truly amazing. But again, what is it that God's trying to reveal to us in his Trinitarian nature? I mean, so we learned that who God says he is, right? We got that definition. We know that he wants to be in communion with us, in fellowship with us. And we're able to do this according to the gospel this morning. It says, because God first loved us. Okay, we cannot love God without him first loving us. Our very response of loving him is due from the fact that he first loved us. He's the initiator. He starts everything with us. And the scriptures, they read, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God so loved the world. It's not just God loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that we might not perish, but have eternal life. So that we might be saved through this God-man, through the God-man, Jesus Christ. You might be saying, okay, Deacon, get to your point. What is God trying to show us? The communion that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is the same communion, is the exact same communion that God wants us to exhibit in our marriages, in our families, in our daily lives. The second reading even hints at this. Even with those whom we don't know, God wants us to have this communion with them. One of the most important documents of Vatican II is Gaudium et Spes. We often hear it quoted and we don't even know it, which speaks to the church in the modern world. The document says that God implied a certain likeness between the union of the divine persons and the unity of the sons of God, and the unity of the daughters of God. And we're all children of God, right? We've all been adopted by God the Father at our baptism. So there's supposed to be a likeness between him and us. And the document continues, this likeness reveals that man, who is the only creature on earth which God willed for itself, the only creature that God willed for itself, cannot fully find himself without a sincere gift of himself. So in this we see God the Father, okay? His love for us, he sent God the Son. And the love between the Father and the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. And it's constantly love goes out. Love goes out to be received by another. In theology, they talk about exitus reditus. And it's all cyclical. What goes out comes in. God is love, and we can see how this love is about giving ourselves away just by the very nature of the Trinity, by our readings today. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And the love between the Father and the Son is exhibited in the Holy Spirit, which remains with us today. We just celebrated Pentecost. So he really does live and dwell within each and every one of us. And what a mystery that is in itself. But, okay, so what is it that God's trying to show to us? What needs to happen is that we have to come to this reality, this communion, this fellowship in our daily lives. When people look at us, when people look at us on the streets, in our families, in our own families, our mom and dads, the kids, do we see God in our lives? Can people see that, you know, we are set apart, we are a holy people? Do we see it in ourselves? Can you see the love of God dwelling inside of you? This is very important. This is very important to grasp. So this next week, I invite you to reflect upon the description that we hear today in the first reading about who God is: merciful, gracious, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity, rich in faithfulness. Okay, so we have five different adjectives. We have 5 days this week. Go through and just reflect on those each day this week, just on one of those words and how it impacts you and how it affects your relationship with God the Father. And then I also invite you this week particularly to earnestly try to give of yourself for another. Try to give like the gracious God has given each and every one of us, being more concerned about the others than we are about our own selves. Because I think it's very easy in the Christian life to be very concerned with, okay, well, you know, I do this, 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 and this. I've sinned this way. I've done all these bad things. How often do we go to confession and say, you know, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I've been a jerk all week. You know, I have not given myself away. I have not sacrificed for another person. In this model, the Trinity invites us to give ourselves away. So let us start exemplifying what heaven will be like here on earth, because that's what we're being called to. Let's just not focus on the mystery we celebrate today, because like I said, we're never going to understand it, but we can appreciate the mystery. And let us experience it in the way that we live, because that's what God is calling us to. It's not theory. He's intimately involved in each of our lives, in every single aspect, that in the way that we live. And we need to experience this in the way that we live, in the way that we pray, and the way that we meet and interact with others. And I would be remiss if I didn't say something about Father's Day. The highest calling of a man is to be a husband, is to be a father. And how do we know this? We know this because Jesus Christ revealed his Father to us. Christ taught us to pray our Father, okay? Earthly dads have the ultimate father to follow. And to show their kids what it means to receive the love from the Father, they are to give that love to their children. They are to give that love to their wives. How you love your kids, how you love your spouse will be the way that your kids will love in the future, will be the way that your kids love others around them. You know, and what a calling fathers have been called to. I mean, it's a beautiful calling. So today, let us pray for them. Let us appreciate our fathers this day. Amen. Happy Father's Day.